This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and today I'm joined by Cliff Perez. We were joined by Cliff previously in episode 51, so if you haven't listened to that, go back and do. Cliff is a seasoned professional in the outsourcing industry. He has worked over 12 years and has great insight into mid and senior level management roles and also the costs and functions of those. So it's really good insight. And if you want any of the show notes, we actually have a new URL, so go to outsourceaccelerator.com/71. Welcome back, everyone, and welcome back, Cliff Perez.
Thanks, Derek.
It's great to have you back again, and basically, Cliff has forged a very strong career in outsourcing, and I want to give the listeners out there insight into the amazing talent and skills available in outsourcing, and it's not just about bookkeeping and telesales, you know, like it's so much more than that. And there's incredible value out there for the businesses in the West, but also the talent here in the Philippines. So we left it on a bit of a cliffhanger before. So just to recap, like you spent 8 years in the seminary, then you did law school, then you entered into the BPO field. And yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on the outsourcing sector. How has it been for your life and career?
Yeah, so I've been working for like 13, 14 years, and 12 years of that are in the BPO. So I think monetarily, it helped me a lot, even my family. So I have two kids now. They're 10 and 8. And I would owe it all up from the BPO because I was able to send them in good school, and I was able to provide for everything when it comes to their financial needs. So I think if the BPO would be out of the picture here in the Philippines, it could have been a very different kind of experience for me and for my family, if ever I would have a family. So probably without a BPO, I could have been working for maybe a fast food chain just to get through my law schooling, or probably I could be teaching. And either way, I would not be getting more than 20,000 a month just for doing both. So.
And you've sort of been, from a relatively early in your career, you were earning five times that. Yeah?
Exactly, yeah. So yeah, I think the outsourcing business helped me a lot, and not just me, but a lot of other, you know, young talents. Because I think one strength or one talent that Filipinos have is that they're really adaptive when it comes to the language. Like, they can easily adapt to a different language. Like, if a Filipino worker would be working for, let's say, in Italy for a year, well, I bet you they would be speaking fluently when they get back here. If they would be working in China, then they would learn Chinese pretty easily. And in terms of education, a lot of the educational system that we have in place, or I think generally the educational system that we have here, are being taught in English. So even in their grade schooling, a lot of the kids that we have now are really fluent in English. So they're kind of already immersed to that culture. Westernized culture early on in their lives, so it kind of put them in like a second nature whenever they speak in English. Some of them may not be that fluent when it comes to speaking it, but they understand it really well.
Because you must see that with your kids, yeah?
Like, yeah.
More and more, I mean, it's a good and a bad thing, but more and more your kids are probably brought up on a diet of YouTube and American songs and NBA basketball.
Yes,
you know, it's and then so the younger generation, there's going to be very little cultural difference between a Filipino and someone in LA, probably. Yeah,
that is true. Yeah. So like most of the kids right now, yeah, that is true. They're really getting a lot of, you know, YouTube daily. They have this like social media gaming that they're working on, and sometimes they're like talking to different kids from other places as well. Mm. So they've been chatting, and that they have these terms that sometimes I don't get anymore, because like they're kind of like talking in a different realm already. Yeah. So yeah, but yeah, that's true. So at a very young age, they get immersed in the culture, and yeah, when you apply it in a job that would require you to speak in English or speak to someone in another country, it would be easier for them to just hold a good conversation, because yeah, it comes second nature for them.
And because the Philippines is very outward looking, I mean, you have spent most of your time working for American accounts, so you're talking mostly to American interests. Yeah. I know that you had an English account.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a very outward looking country, and outsourcing creates a very outward looking skill set. So where do you see outsourcing going? Do you see it growing? Do you see broader job availability in outsourcing?
Yeah, definitely. So I started with the big BPO companies out here, and then I kind of look into the captive or the in-house kind of setup. I also work for a London-based company, a telco company, for almost a year. And that gave me, you know, a fresh new look into the business, because for like the past 6 years, I was working for all Western, not just but US right. companies, yeah. right? So, and then it's an English company, and everything is like different, even when it comes to the culture. So it's very laid back and all, but I was also still in sales. So I was selling back then SIM cards. So it's kind of different, but at some point it also tells me that there's still more to look into when it comes to the business, and it's still growing. And then after my 1 year stint with that company, I kind of shifted to a big company again, and it was microsourcing. And just by the name itself, they kind of welcomed every type of, you know, outsourced business. Even if they're just looking for one person as a virtual assistant, they would accommodate that. So
microsourcing is a outsourcing BPO. I think that was a sign of the times, in that they originally outsourcing was just for the massive big conglomerates, yeah. and now there's a democratization, and every little company, SME, has access to outsourcing. Yeah. So microsourcing specialized in that.
That's true. And then I think by that time, they're just like one among the few that is offering that kind of setup. But then eventually now, if you would be looking at the market, a lot of companies are already shifting to that kind of model. Like they have the BOT kind of setup, like build and operate and then transfer. So they're kind of really looking into diversifying the market, in the sense that it would welcome, or it would accommodate more clients to outsource their business here. And yeah, I think it will all boil down to the talent that we have here. Well, not really comparing it with other countries, but I think in a good command of English, the talent in management, the talent in, you know, back office, even, you know, a targeted kind of skill that we have here.
Yeah, like it's not all depth
now, exactly. So we're kind of a jack of all trades. So if you're looking for like someone who can do like graphics design, we have that talent here. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for someone that would do content moderation, we all have, you know, a pool of talent that can do that as well.
Yeah.
So.
And what is the? I mean, we spoke briefly in the last episode with you about the difference between the big conglomerate outsourcing and then the captives and the startups. There is now more of a startup mentality around the Philippines, mm-hmm. and around Manila. What do people think about going into a Western startup? Is it a bit scary? Is it a challenge that people enjoy?
Yeah, I think when it comes to startup companies, it's kind of really taxing in terms of setting it up. And I think when it comes to setting up a business anywhere in the world, it would just all be the same. Like, you have to take care of some, you know, requirements and all that. But I think the only difference is that if you would be setting it up here, comparing it to, you know, setting up a business inside a big company, a big BPO company, and doing it on your own, you would have more support when it comes to having it started with a well-established company. But if you will be starting it on your own, then of course it would be a lot more different because you're on your own and you're doing it. But if you know someone, like I do that as well, like part-time. So I also help clients to get, you know, some options, all right? But I'm kind of doing a lot of things right now, so I kind of like park that aside. But it would be easy, as long as you know someone who's very much knowledgeable on how to set up a business here, it would be easy for you to do that.
Just to give people out there in the audience an insight into the going rates then for mid-level managers, potentially kind of pioneer-type managers that will help set up a team. Mm-hmm. What are the pay rates? Because it's actually interesting to acknowledge that salaries start off very cheap here for mm-hmm. new graduates, but then as you get up to the top executive pay, it almost is it's quite similar to the Western salary because they're effectively, they've bridged that gap mm-hmm. between Philippines and the West. But so what would you say sort of a middle to upper level manager is within a medium to large size account?
Yeah, if you're in a mid-level management, if you're in a big company, you're probably getting around 40 to 50, all right,
for mid-level. 50,000 pesos
exactly,
a month, which is about 45 to 50 pesos per US dollar.
That's true. Yeah. And then, but if you're in a captive account or an in-house account, you're probably getting around 60 to 70 if you're in a mid-level. If you are, let's say, the manager, the site manager, for example, I think if you're in a big company, you're probably getting 150 to 200, right? If you're in a big company. But like my wife, she's the site manager for a London-based company. It's an in-house. She's still getting around 120.
Right.
Yeah, so
okay.
So that's the difference.
But that is, I mean, that's a pretty good salary, though.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Done. Hope you enjoyed that. That was Cliff Perez. If you want any of the show notes, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/71. And if you want to ask us anything at all, just email us at ask@outsourceaccelerator.com.